Welcome
Welcome
back
back.
to Truvon Talks on your Saturday morning. Rachel and I took a little reprieve. We had much going on, so
We've
here we
been so
are.
busy. It's good to be back.
So today your counselors are going to talk about what it means to have life transitions and to have daily transitions with your people and work transitions, play transitions, and what that kind of looks like. So,
Yeah. So transitioning, moving from one task or one phase of life or one moment to the next, another different one. That can be big or small. Right? You had some examples. Yeah.
And when you move from like a life transition, like when you move from college into your career, that's a very different transition because as a college student, there's blocks of time where you can have a little fun, a little rest. And then when you go into work full time, it's like an 8 to 5 or some kind of shift, and it's very different to a lot of young folks who are, making that career transition.
Yeah,
So.
anytime you go from school to a career is a huge transition. It could be, high school into the workforce, college into the workforce. I'm thinking also like high school to military or
Oh, yeah.
military to civilian life, from working to retirement.
Oh yeah. That's a challenging one. The working to retirement for a lot of folks. It can be there's a grief there around not being out in the world and contributing. Can't speak contributing today, with helping others or being a part of a whole group or a system. And transitioning out of that can be sad.
Yeah, I think for a lot of those, there can be this grief aspect of, wow, this chapter or this phase of my life has come to an end. And now I'm starting a new one. And there can be some anxiety about what is this new chapter going to look like? How am I going to adjust or adapt or learn how to live in this new phase? And grief about, maybe I won't be spending time with these people that I've gotten really close to as much anymore. Like there can be a sense of losing a part of your identity in transitions, right? Like if you've always done a certain job or you've always, been a member of the military, that can become a big part of your identity and transitioning out of that, right? If you've always been a student, and now you're going into the workforce. Yeah. So that loss of identity and connection with people, I think, is the biggest part of grief when it comes to life transitions.
Well said, Rachel. And how would we help, our clients when they're going through a transition like that? What are some things I can think of some things I kind of help folks do, but what are some kind of things that you help them kind of think about as they move into a new phase?
I think it's a creative process of shaping, what do you want this next chapter to look like? Right. So we start by just kind of like brainstorming, dreaming, what's realistic, and then we can start kind of like putting those building blocks together. Like, okay, well, now we've got an idea of what we would like. How do we make that happen? What's the first step?
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. What's the first step? I like to help folks kind of envision, their inner child and make a vision board around, hey, what are some things you always wanted to do? and you didn't have the time or the
Mm.
opportunity to do.
I love that.
And then they're like, oh, wow, I always wanted to go fill in the blank, Iceland, Costa Rica, take a round trip across the country, visiting all the state parks. Is that possible for you to do financially? What are some, is there any limitations on how you can do that? Maybe it's once a month, what are some values that you have inside that you haven't gotten to help with? Maybe you had a very giving heart and you didn't have resources to give, and now you have time to give. So,
Love that.
yeah.
That's a great way of creating like this very concrete visual to help kind of people lay the groundwork. I'm also thinking of, Linda, you're always talking about the importance of values.
Inner values.
Yeah, and so I'll talk to people about like, okay, so this chapter that we're transitioning out of, what did you really value most about that? And people might, if they're leaving school, they might say, well, I really value education and learning or structure, or if it's military, I really value that camaraderie and being part of a team and like working together with people. If it's their career, maybe it's an aspect of that. I enjoy helping people or feeling needed. Okay, what is a different way that you can still have that value part of your life? How can we still make that value an active aspect of your, weekly or monthly routine?
Right. So that's good, Rachel, is what does your day look like? Having them write out. When I wake up, I want to do some meditation, prayer, study the scriptures, and then I want to go for a jog for an hour, and then I want to go visit my so-and-so for an hour. Like, what does it look like? And how the like every hour should be accounted for. If you're in the military, every hour needs to be accounted for. People that started in the military, they got used to a rigid schedule being set for them. So now they have to be their authoritarian self and dictate their day for themselves.
That's self-discipline.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, your work and your organization create your schedule typically. Typically, they've
Yeah.
set meetings for you and they've got your lunch break in there, and people thrive on routine and
Yeah,
schedule.
schedule and routine and structure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you lose that and you've got all this free time on your
That you
hands,
always wanted. Yeah.
yep, that you always dreamed about, but now that you have it, it's like, gosh, what do I do all day?
Yes. And what is your deepest, most inner value? If you value caretaking, who could you caretake? What animal could you buy to caretake? If you value culture, what museum could you attend? If you value music, what concert have you always wanted to attend that you didn't get to, of your favorite band? You want to attend one of the music festivals. Like, there's all these things that you can create based on your inner values, what you care about. So that's a good way to transition, I think. I think so. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I think just it really does take a lot of brainstorming. It's a creative process, I think, because you've really got to sit down and consider what is most important to me, what matters most, and how can I incorporate that into my life now?
And that's ACT therapy. What Rachel's sharing out is acceptance and commitment therapy. They would find out what is your innermost value, and if my innermost value is helping others, so what does my day look like? So if I'm helping others, committed actions, and my day would look like 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I visit the people at the home and, go play cards with them. From 10 to 12, I go visit so and so. I mean, you have to, based on your value, decide the committed actions for that. What does that look like? That's how you live a fulfilled, happy life in any transition.
And it's how you find purpose.
Yes, thank
When you
you.
feel like you've lost your purpose, that is how you find new purpose.
New
Yeah.
purpose. Well said. Oh, and Rachel, we mentioned this earlier, is as you're transitioning and finding new purpose, you may have to grieve some of the great expectations that you had. And I read an article years ago, Tyranny of Expectations, how you expected your life to look, how you envisioned your life to be. You have to grieve that those things did not show up in the way you wanted them to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. We did forget to mention that, and that is so normal. So many people experience that because we all sit and kind of like think at least a little bit about what the future will hold and what it might look like. And we can't predict the future. So it's very common for it to not actually be in line with what we envisioned.
Yeah, did you ever daydream as a little girl, Rachel, and have an idea
All
of
the time,
future? Okay. Yeah, me too. And you can share if you want to, but I'm happy to share and disclose because that's our podcast. So I envision myself being a hotshot lawyer in DC and making some moves and being a powerhouse and driving the forces as I wanted them to, and possibly being in the political realm. I felt very empowered to do that as a kid. I thought that would be great as a woman to be a hotshot lawyer. That's just what I envisioned myself. I had Harvard pamphlets. I was always going to go to law school. So the tyranny of those expectations when, and I've probably shared this before, but when I was in college and I worked at a law firm and got a little taste of the feels of what that looks like for me. And I just never felt like that was where I was being drawn to. And so I had to let go of the expectation. And, God said, do you want a lot of people or do you want to help people? And please, if you are a lawyer, I do not believe that you lie. I do not believe that. I'm saying for me in the field I would have went into, did I want a lot of people or do I want to help people? And that's what I heard God say. And so I said, oh, I want to help people. And that's not an all-encompassing that all lawyers lie, because I don't believe that at
You're
all.
just sharing your own inner experience and how it felt for you as an
Yes.
individual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We need lawyers. We absolutely, I know good ones too. And so that was for me, is like, well, I want to help people. So the tyranny of expectations is that I didn't have a lot of money in my youth. I was poor, broke college students, some of us are. And then, just the expectations of what I would have, what I would be doing looked different. And I had to grieve that. And that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause I'm sure that vision of your future career was so vivid, and because as highly sensitive people, we have very rich, vivid inner worlds, right? Yeah, and so had probably become already a part of your identity, right? Something you were striving for. So yeah, it makes sense that you'd have to grieve that and kind of adjust and adapt to this new idea of who you were becoming.
Hey, I watched too much Matlock as a kid. I
I love
love
a legal
Matlock.
drama.
Yes. I didn't watch Law and Order. Other people watched Law and Order. I was like Matlock. I want to be like Matlock. Andy Griffith.
Yeah,
I
I
said
like
that wrong, but I wanted to be like him when I grew up, solving
Awesome.
crime. This sounds
Awesome.
like a good idea. So I yeah, and that and you just gotta let go of some of those visions there and grieve that, like Rachel said. Because you're gonna daydream as a kid or even as a young adult, you have visions of where you wanna being, what you're going to be doing, who you're with.
Yeah, life has a way of throwing curveballs, and it changes our, direction that we're headed, and that grieving process takes time. And there may be a lot of tears, and that's okay. Even if the, new direction is something that is good, like even if it's a good change, there it's still normal and okay for there to be tears in a grieving process.
For sure. And don't feel bad for being sad.
Please don't. Yeah. We're human, not robots.
Not yet.
I heard something or read something. I wish I could remember it so I could give credit to who it was from. I don't remember. I'm so sorry. But it was basically saying that, the emotions are never the problem. They're never the issue or what is wrong. It's our own perceptions and beliefs and about the emotions that are what we most of the time have to work through. So, feeling sad and grieving is a normal human experience, but if I view myself as weak or experiencing grief, that's the actual issue. I need to work on what grief means to me. It doesn't
Very
mean
good.
weakness.
Well said, Rachel. Yeah, the perception of if I'm sad, then I must not be a strong person. That's not true. I mean, Jesus wept, Mother Teresa wept, all the greats have wept. I mean, it's okay to be sad. That's a good thing to show those emotions, emotes. And Rachel taught me this from Dan Siegel, name it to tame it. Name it to tame it. And my clients always remember that, name it to tame it.
I know, I love a little good rhyme. My clients remember that too.
Yeah, so good. So if you're listening and you're entering like a transition time, we want to encourage you to reflect on expectations not met. And you might even write a letter and grieve them. Hear dreams of fill in the blank. I'm sorry I didn't meet you on this journey. I'm letting you go now, and I'm sad it didn't happen. Letting go of the expectations of the, what you visualize something to be. First step.
Letter writing can be so cathartic. I love that practice.
Pen to paper, not note taking, not texting, pen to paper.
Yeah, there's something about that movement. Yeah.
Neurocognitive something. Somebody who got smarter than
No
me.
doubt. Yeah.
So.
One of my favorites is, to the individual who is grieving the loss of, fill in the blank. It's like you're writing to yourself, but you're acting as if you're writing it to someone else that's going through the exact same thing that you are.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Love
We're
that.
so much kinder to other people than we are ourselves.
Yeah. Unless you're a sociopath.
The caveat. Most people are not, so
Correct.
thankfully.
Thankfully. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So, letting go of expectations. By writing a letter to those expectations, then writing down your innermost values. What do I really care about? And one of the things in the books that I read, Neuro Wisdom, and I'll get the authors on that for us later, is that if I had $1 million just handed to me as an inheritance, I didn't need the money, I didn't need it. What would I really consider doing with that money? Really, truly. Would I go buy a yacht? I don't think $1 million is going to buy a yacht, but you know.
Not in this economy. We don't know.
No, eating eggs is all I can do. So then you look and say, well, what would I build an orphanage? Would I build a group home? And that would be what I would do. That's not true for everyone. Okay. So what would you truly do if you were just handed $1 million to do freely what you wanted with and all your things are paid for?
Yeah,
I like that one. That helps you
I
understand.
like that.
Yeah, neuro wisdom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel, after you do that, what would be the third thing to help someone with the transition? Would help give them that formula there.
Yeah, I think it's like, going back to the like values is okay. We thought initially that we were going to fulfill these values and our sense of purpose, right, through this direction. How can we fulfill those values and purpose, the same ones, in a different direction? We're still meeting the same goal, right? We just changed our course.
I love that. My auntie, she auntie Susie, she helped with the helping children in foster care as a volunteer job in Georgia. And that was how she was living out her inner value of being a counselor in the sense of how she could help others. And I admire that in her. My other auntie is a Melanie. She helps kids through the Boys and Girls Club. And she didn't have any children of her own, but she certainly has been a mom to many. So she was a teacher, now she helps the boys and girls home. So, living out your values even in retirement is still there. It's still so many needs. So many needs.
I think deep down, we're all just trying to live a life that we can be proud of.
Amen. Amen. That's so true.
And so it's just figuring out how can I do that? What matters the most?
That's good. Well, we hope. Did we answer everything you think as far as like transitions in this part?
I think we've covered it enough, I hope. Yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
It's hard to like do thorough, detailed guide in a short amount of time on a podcast, but we're just introducing concepts and ideas, and it's free, and we hope it's helpful to someone, even if just one person is enlightened by something we shared. I'm happy.
Me too, Rachel. And thank you for volunteering your time on a Saturday morning to show up and give freely of your time to help others. Thank you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope everyone stays curious and kind. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.